can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
I'm doing pretty well. If you are watching this on YouTube and not listening to it, you may notice that we are in a bit of a different format today. Jay and I are in our kitchens because we both went for a workout after work, and then we have to walk our dogs, and we have meal prep to do this week, and we have very busy lives outside of podcasting. So we're combining two things into one right now. We're going to do food preparation while we're talking about mental health. And if that isn't the most mental health thing I've ever done, I don't know what is.
And
outside of regular therapy,
you're going to get to listen to cooking noises and listen to us just in our places that make us happy, which is getting ready to stuff our faces.
That's true. I feel like this is probably the right time to probably talk about more hard-hitting topics because I'm less depressed when I'm cooking.
So I will definitely be going out of screen for a while because I have to throw things away randomly. But anyways, Anthony, how are you doing?
Yeah, so actually, I'm doing pretty well. I was telling you earlier today that I've been avoiding social media, and that has been a huge, huge help to me presently because I cannot tell you how often social media just depresses me.
Yes.
And specifically Facebook. So I yes. still do things like Tumblr and Blue Sky. I mean, obviously Blue Sky. Where am I getting my penises at? But I've really been trying to like keep myself away from it. That's helped out a lot. I've also been getting back into working out. You've been an inspiration for me in that capacity because I'm
glad I can help.
Yeah, it's helped me a lot to know that you're doing it because I used to work out all the time and my mental health is so much better when I do it. It's so stupid that
right?
doctors are right about that.
I you know? Hate it. It pisses me off so much that I'm just like, okay, you're right.
I know, and it's so upsetting. I'm just like, if I did do the things that you told me to do, I would be in better mental health. I hate you.
And I just went to the doctor and did my blood work, and I'm like, I'm drastically improving. My blood work keeps improving, and even like my blood pressure, which are all things my doctor has told me, but I'm always like, I'm too busy. And now I'm super fucking busy, but I decided to squeeze it in.
It is one of those things that you really have to make time for it at first, unless you just love working out. And eventually I get to where I do love working out. I don't like missing it.
Yeah, that's kind of it. Like, I'm kind of dreading the moments where something happens and I have to skip it.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's where, you know, I've gotten to where I really, I will tell people, hey, I can't do that. I have to go to the gym first.
Yeah, I do prioritize the gym now. And right now I'm only at 3 days a week, but I'm a little bit tempted to throw another day in.
So when I first get, so right now I'm doing the gym 3 days, and then I'm doing just maybe like walking for probably 2 or 3 miles every other day in between.
Oh yeah.
And I just want, like, I just need to be up and moving, because what was happening is I was getting home and I was basically just sitting down on the couch.
And I think that's what triggered it, was moving downtown and getting out of my house where I could just leave my dog in the backyard. I had to get up and start walking him on a regular basis. And that made me realize how getting out in the sun and getting more walking activity and all was helpful. So I was like, well, fuck, maybe you really do need to go to the gym. And so that's why at the end of the year, when I did my reset, I prioritized the gym.
Yep. Well, that's where I'm like, I feel like it's one of those things that if I don't just start doing it, I'm not going to do it. If Same. I try to wait to be motivated, I'm never going to be motivated to do it.
So I had to kind of just motivate myself by forcing it, and now I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that the truth about anything? Like, motivation doesn't come to you. You have to, like, make it happen, which is so fucking stupid. Ugh. Tell me how frustrating that is, because the most motivated I ever feel writing is after I've started writing. Like, true. I can't ever get before I'm writing, I don't want to do it. And then when I start writing, I'm like, oh yes, I need to be doing this.
That's it. I'm on a cruise ship and I'm suddenly like, this is the most motivated for writing I've ever been.
It's easy to do it on vacation when you're out of your own space, because you don't have those distractions. You don't have the little excuses you can make for yourself that feel legitimate in the moment.
And that's such a problem, is like my dog. I love him dearly, but is a total distraction. Always need something.
Yep. I've thought about getting to where I do my writing outside of the house. I hate to do that, though, and build it as a habit, because if I do, then what's going to happen when I need to write in the house, you know?
I will say that my problem with writing outside of the house is how much I have to go somewhere to spend money. Like, I have to go sit at a coffee shop. I have to go drink wine, which unfortunately is where my creativity flows so much more. Reggie, damn it, get out of the way.
I had just thrown away cilantro leaves instead of the stem. I'm so dumb.
Okay, so we're learning multitasking while recording a podcast.
I'm really learning lessons right now, yes. But yeah, I mean, I feel the same way, because when I do go outside the house to write, I want to just grab like a coffee or something.
Yeah.
And then sit somewhere with a nice view. But the nice thing is we have the Gathering Place in Tulsa.
That's true.
You do. I would go sit in there, and it doesn't cost you anything to be there. So I just bring whatever I want with me.
See, and my problem is I have specific bars I like to go to that have either relaxing areas or good views or something like that. And I put my headphones in and type my little heart out. And it's very comforting and relaxing. I also, because I'm having a beer or wine, let my little wall down so my story flows better.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm kind of reticent to write while I drink. But I also realize that, and like, that is part of an issue that I have, is I do tend to put up walls in my writing, and I do tend to not let things all the way out because I think of what people will think of what I'm writing.
100%. That's exactly what I do. I stop worrying about people's thoughts if I have a beer or wine in my little tum tum.
What a faggot tum tum. But yeah, I mean, I get that, because that is one of the things that I struggle with in writing is getting to the core of things and getting down to the nitty gritty and the really raw bits. And it's funny because, like, some of my favorite stories that I've written are very raw pieces of, you know, myself and my life. Like, I wrote this one that it's not unhinged, but it's definitely a metaphor for my previous employer and being mistreated in, like, corporate life. And it's just like this pseudo set in the future sort of, you know, dystopia. It's cyberpunk is really what it is. It's a cyberpunk story, and I was just so in a space when I wrote it. I felt very freed of what I was doing. I had just, like, quit working there, and so I was like, you know, I'm gonna write something that really, because this feels right. And I love rereading that story because it just feels so raw and good. There's, you know, the characters feel real to me. And it's things like that. When I feel like my characters are real people, that's when I know I'm doing my best writing.
My best writing is when I think you kind of mentioned it when you skimmed over my stuff. My best writing is when I actually take what I'm feeling, or basically what I remember what I'm feeling, and can really set myself in the scene. And that's when my descriptions come out so well. And I like doing that. Which I feel when I'm drinking is also when I can do that best. It's annoying how much alcohol can help my life, but also be so bad for me.
Well, so one of the things that I started thinking about recently is, you know, whenever we write, we tend to try to write a project. We're trying to work on a project, right? We're working on something that is only a project, and we don't ever just write for practice. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like with anything else in life, practice is sort of this thing that you do. And so sometimes I'll catch myself just to unblock the flow of things, writing either a stream of consciousness, just whatever I'm in my head about at the moment, and just getting it out on the page. And then also describing things around me. I'll just go and I'll start describing things on paper, just like I see this, or I hear this, or this is the smell I smell. And so when I was reading that excerpt that you sent me, one of the things that really stuck out to me was the shop that your main character goes into to go talk to, what was it?
His dad.
Yeah.
It was the old hardware shop downtown.
Mm-hmm. That had been converted from something else, right?
I just don't remember what it used to be.
I don't remember something either. I only read it one time.
Same. So,
but... Well, I mean, you know, but anyways, it was the little things like the creaky floorboards and things like that that always stand out, because you never think of that when you're writing, but those are the details that put your reader in, in that space. Those are the things that are going to put that person there, and you're never going to get a deep appreciation from a general reader about it because they don't know that you're doing it, but those little things are what take what's in your head, and basically mentally, it's telepathy in its own way. It takes it from your mind and puts it in your reader's mind. It's shitty telepathy because you can't guarantee what's going to come across, but it is a form of telepathy to me.
Right.
And yeah, I think some of the best writers do that in such an engaging way that it never feels like too much. It's never too little. And it's just it puts you into the scene. You can really feel yourself in the space that the writer is describing, and that puts you in the scene, and then you're ready to have things interact. You've built this world in your head, and now you can see the characters moving through it. Are we doing a mental health podcast this week, or are we talking about writing? I think it's the same thing.
Yeah, but our writing is part of our mental health.
That is true.
It is where we release a lot of our creativity at when we get the opportunity to, and you and I are both creative people in our own ways.
Yes. Well, I think that's there are many different ways I release my creativity. Cooking is one of them. And cooking is my love language.
Speaking of cooking, what are you making?
Oh, I currently am making some pico. I'm taking my sweet ass time with the cilantro right now because we're just chit chatting and I feel like I can take my sweet ass time.
That's normally what's nice. I take out, I don't feel my chef's knife to and I just this up.
Normally I am flying 100 miles an hour getting this shit done.
Yeah. Cause I want to sit down and be lazy.
Yeah, exactly.
This is kind of why I wanted to record this way.
But I'm trying to do some meal prep. I think my ideal meal prep situation is protein, rice, veggie and sauce. And so I'm gonna probably cook up some different some chicken breasts and stuff and have this pico, and I'm gonna make guac tomorrow whenever the avocados are finally ready. They're not quite ripe enough yet.
Oh my god, speaking of, I went to Walmart today and ordered bananas for Walmart pickup, and they gave me the greenest bananas I could ever imagine.
I mean, I told Joe, because he picked these avocados out from Costco, and I was like, you know what? I would rather you get like underripe ones than get ones that are way too close to ripe from Costco, because there's like seven of them in that bag and I've got to use them. So,
well, and normally
so five of them are going to be guacamole and two of them are going to be sushi on Thursday.
Normally I wouldn't be bothered by it, except I was out of bananas and I always eat a banana before I go to the gym.
Ooh, I used to have a banana every morning when I was working out because it's such good carbs.
Which is precisely why I did it. Good carbs. And also, you're getting a little bit of potassium.
Ooh, just that little hint of potassium. Hint of potassium.
A hint of potassium.
Yeah, so I'm making this pico for us just to have as like a snack.
Nice.
And to have as like a topping for things. Because I find that when we have stuff like that around the house, we don't tend to eat trash.
I get it. Yeah, and I try and make meals that I can just dump in a container really fast and put it in the fridge and then warm up every day, because then I do better about eating.
Yeah, you guys are so lucky that I'm not chopping this like I usually chop my cilantro, because otherwise things would be loud as fuck.
Tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes. What are you cooking?
I am making a sausage and creamy tortellini dish.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Ironically, I asked ChatGPT for this recipe, so I'm purely going based off what ChatGPT tells me.
Our robot overlords are already winning, telling you what to eat and everything.
Well, they told me my face cream routine today that I should do, and today I was like, where else could you improve my life? Because so far, you've done pretty good.
God. You know what? I wish that people would get advice from ChatGPT versus politicians.
Oh, my God.
That would probably actually make me a lot happier. Because I feel like that's also been one of the things that I have been... That's getting away from social media has improved my mental health, because I haven't been able to see people being stupid.
Yes.
Which is a readily available site on things like Facebook.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, I feel like I try to wrap my head around certain things. It's like the bird flu epidemic being a source of issue with like being able to get eggs. Because we just got eggs the other day and I had to like price them because I was not paying that much for fucking eggs.
Yeah.
But what it's things like deregulation that people don't understand leads to higher egg prices, because you're going to have issues like that where unless they deregulate it to the point that they can sell you eggs from unhealthy chickens, then I mean, you're going to have unhealthy chickens and they're going to get the bird flu and then the chickens are going to die because there's no clean living conditions for the chickens. Like, these are just things that happen when you deregulate.
What?
But I think it's things like that really challenge my mental well-being, because I used to have such a assumption that people were smart, like not smart, but like that they had enough basic intelligence to be able to see things for what they are, whenever it's right there in front of them, you know?
I think because I didn't realize how important and how... what's the term I want to use? How scarce critical thinking skills are.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just assumed that everybody had good critical thinking skills. And over the recent years, I've been learning that that's not the case.
It is not the case. And I really thought that was the case too. I didn't realize that people could go through so many mental gymnastics to kind of like
arrive
at an answer that makes them feel good, you know?
Actually, it was like whenever I talked to my mother before the election about religion and why I don't care that she's religious and that she follows a religion. She can do whatever she wants. I just care that she tries to define people's lives and how others and laws should be based off of her opinion of religion.
Right.
And one of the things I said was... fuck, what did you just say that got me there?
We were talking about people not having critical thinking skills, and talking about how people will kind of do their own mental gymnastics to arrive at Exactly, yeah.
So I was talking to Mom about homosexuality and all that stuff. And I was like, I don't understand why you feel the need to criticize homosexuals and all that stuff when you are an equal sinner of your own way. And I was like, you're divorced. You're all this stuff. She literally the next day texted me how she searched 3 different Bibles and justified why her sins were okay. And I told her, I sit there and went, it baffles me how much grace you're willing to give yourself and nobody else.
Yep. And that is how that always works.
I was like, you go through a lot of effort to defend yourself when you do not put yourself in anybody else's perspective.
Which seems so crazy to me because for all the similarities of our upbringings, I will say that, like, my parents put an effort in to be more understanding. Like, they want to know how things are going with Joe. They don't ask me very often, but they do include it in their conversations that they would have. Let me say it this way. They want to know as much about Joe as they want to know about me, which is usually very little, but it is more than zero.
My parents literally, they don't talk to me about my personal life in that aspect so little, actually, that they have no clue that September of last year, me and my partner split.
Yeah, I forgot. They still don't know about that?
Nope. Never talked about it because I was like, you never ask about that stuff, so why don't I care to tell you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're justified in that situation, but I do think it is also somewhat of a generational thing. But just saying that, there are plenty of people from that generation that don't do that. So
that's it. I'm always like, I mean, it's a generational thing, but you know how many people, same generation, that I deal with on a regular basis that are completely different.
Yep. Well, like, it's like Joe's parents are so, they want to know what we're up to. Like,
it's
they
disgusting
ask
to me that I'm like, it's disgusting out of I'm jealous.
It is really, like, I did luck out in the in-law department because they're great. I love them. And they do ask, like, his mom will text me out of the blue sometimes just to say hi and see how things are going.
Yeah.
Or she'll text me things that she thinks that I will like. And so that's very different to me because I'm just like, I don't know what to do with that because that is not how my parents ever operate.
I have never dated somebody that me and, like, their parents were close in any way. And it's not because they hated me. It was my first relationship. He wasn't even out to his family. And I respected that because I get it. I get it. His parents were Pentecostal preachers. These are things that I understand.
Yep.
My second one, they lived completely in a different state, although they knew I existed and asked about me, but I never got to meet them. I guess that just dawned on me. I've never had really a relationship like that. I mean, some of my other close friends in town, his parents, well, how do I explain it? One of them, his parents have now moved down here to be closer with them, and they're so close with his husband that they talk to his husband a lot more than him.
Oh, wow.
And they live in the same house, technically. What it is their house has an apartment built onto it, and so the parents are within the apartment. So they're separated, but they're still in the same house. But
yeah, sort of like an in-law suite.
And they love being that close, and I'm like, the fuck? I've never experienced that in my life with my own family.
Yeah, it is very different to have, like, that. And I will say, another thing that I've noticed is, like, my grandma, as she's been, like, later in life, she's sort of, like, made this transition from being a very hard person to softening up. And so her birthday was yesterday. But her birth certificate says that it's the 4th. So it's today, the day we're recording.
Right.
And we got done with the gym. And Joe was like, hey, we should call her and wish her a happy legal on paper birthday. And we did. And she loved it. And she was asking Joe how his day was. And, like, so it's just things like that. But I think, you know, it's grandparents have this different, I feel like, again, I think it's a generational thing. I think that generation had the ability to learn,
My grandmother is fantastic. She's 97, almost, I think. When was she born? Oh, yeah, she's almost 97. And she's extremely liberal. I don't understand where my parents got their shitty little ways. Although I guess I shouldn't say parents. Because my real dad, he's pretty liberal. Like, I've been kind of posting a lot of very aggressive opinions online lately.
Yeah, as you should.
About politics. I finally got to the point where I was like, fuck it. I'm not going to filter for anyone. I don't care. Nobody filters for me. Fuck off. And plus,
they
vote for people that actively try and take my rights away. So fuck off.
Exactly. So fuck them.
But so I've started posting pretty aggressively, and he's very like focused on my stuff. He likes it all. And sometimes he'll be like, I very much agree with this. And I'm like, hey, wow. Now, my stepdad is very much like my mother.
Yeah. I don't think that it would be possible at this point in life to like, I don't understand couples who fall on different sides of the spectrum at this point. Because it's not just like a difference in ideologies as much as it's a difference in like empathy and caring about other human beings.
Yeah.
And
it just baffles me to pick a side of politics that, listen, I can totally understand wanting border control better. I can totally understand wanting to reevaluate and get stricter on government spending. Those are things that I support. I'm like, yes,
we
should be doing that. I don't think that I have to vote for a party that literally is supported by Nazis and white supremacists to get those things. I can sacrifice those being done immediately for the greater good of society to grow. I never want to be in a side of society where I look back and I'm aligned with Nazis and white supremacists.
I know. It does blow my mind that people can see like the direct support that Donald Trump gets from like the KKK and just be fine with it. And it does show this like huge moral failing in America where we are willing to sacrifice any sort of morality for the sake of, you know, well, egg prices, some say.
Egg prices. And inflation, which if they looked at it, was like 2.9% when it was election time.
Which I don't even think that that's really people's issues. I think that people really more strongly identify with the anti-immigrant sentiments. I think they identify with the anti-abortion sentiments. I think they really just like show up because that's what they feel, and they use inflation and pricing to be its sort of scapegoat. So they don't sound like they're as evil as they are because they know it. They're aware of it. They wouldn't lie if they didn't like have some sort of self-awareness around it.
Right. Oh, 100%.
And I think that's also what gets me about people is like, I'm aware they're lying about it. And you can make up reasons all day long. And I also like, I try to argue logic with those people and I've realized that that's pointless. They're going to do whatever mental hurdles they need to do to like arrive at the opinion that they want to have.
Yeah. Which is funny because like, I can have really strong opinions, but if you give me something that I'm like, oh, that's a really good thought. I'll think about it.
Yep.
That's not hard for me to do. I don't mind altering my thought process.
Yep.
If it's genuinely for a greater good.
And I mean, that's how people should be. And I think that's another mistake that I always make is I think of how people should be in my head. And that is a mistake to like think like that because I don't think everybody has that same mentality. They don't really care about other people.
Well,
and it's easy to not care when you don't have to see the results of what you do.
That's it. A lot of people believe that everything they vote for is for them completely. Like everything they have to do is solely for their gain. And I'm like, see, the interesting part is as a thriving society, you have to acknowledge the existence of others around you. Now, in general life, yes, I do things for me because I am the sole person that has to take care of myself. But when I am in an actual democracy society that has to focus on how we work together, I have to acknowledge other people and how think people think differently than me. And I don't think people understand that. I think the Reaganism really altered that process in people.
It's the idea that we need to accept radical individualism in the U.S. that is ruining a society, because radical individualism does not support a society. The society is inherently something that needs to have multiple people existing in it. And in that vein, you need to understand that different people are going to be different at the end of the day, no matter what. And you can whittle down those differences all you want, but then you're going to find some other difference that you need to have. That's like, it's like how so many different sects of Christianity exist. Where I'm like, okay, but you guys at the end of the day, like, it's the same shit.
Yeah, it's the same shit with just slightly different opinions.
Yeah, and that was always something that blew my mind, because, like, even as a young Christian boy, I never understood how people got so up in arms about different sects of Christianity.
Same. And how how against other religions they were, like Lutherans against Baptists, things like that. Like, like the listening to that, people being like, oh, well, you know, they're Lutheran or...
They're Baptists. I get it when it comes down to, like, Seventh-day Adventists and, you know, Mormons, because that there are some really significantly different ideologies that exist in those. But, like, Baptist versus Church of Christ, get out of here.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I look at them and I go, ugh. And that's just because I've witnessed him, and I go, meh. And I'm also not super... Alexa, stop. I'm not super religious. We don't have to stop at 30 minutes if you don't want to.
No, we can actually make this two episodes if you want to make it two episodes.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. So.
Well, episode one just finished, so...
Yeah. So this is the end of episode one, and join us next week for episode two, where we continue this conversation in the exact same place.
Exact same clothing.
Jay.
And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time,